As Noah said, some of you have known me since I was literally a child, and many more have known me since I was figuratively a child and acted like a child when I probably was not a child, worthy of those type of actions. I'm thankful for this church and for our partnership in Christ. If you would, if you haven't, please go ahead and turn to your Bible and to the book of Colossians. The title of our sermon this morning is The Priority of Christ Proclaiming Partnerships. The Priority of Christ Proclaiming Partnerships. How much has changed in just a year's time, Kealoha? Just 1 year's time, how much has changed for your church, in our association? And we really need to think about what is it worth? What is worth being partners over, and what should our partnership look like? What really does it mean to be partners? And that's what I want to do, and I want to look at the scriptures to get our direction, to really show us where we should be going. And I think Paul does it so well here in Colossians. I just want to say that I'm always very happy to preach here. Always very happy to be with all of you. So many good memories here at this church with so many people. And so I'm so thankful. And I want to say, Melissa and Jay, you guys look really happy. And that makes me happy. And that makes our family happy. And I want to say to the church, you should lovingly continue to welcome them. And I want to say to the members, you should submit to Pastor Jay. For 10 years of my life, Jay was my pastor, or in some way over authority in me spiritually. And I want to say that you should submit to him, not just because he's a worthy man, not just because he's qualified biblically. I believe he is. I believe that's an excellent reason to submit to Pastor Jay. But I want you to submit to Pastor Jay and lovingly follow him, honor and respect him, because Jesus is worthy of being obeyed. So please, continue to love the Haynes Ohana and continue to submit and follow Pastor Jay. He is a man worthy of it, but Jesus is worthy of his word being obeyed. So let's look at the word of God today. And what we're going to do here is we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 2. And the first thing we're going to see in this text is Paul's struggle to proclaim Christ. That's the first thing that we're going to see here in verse 1 of chapter 2 is Paul's struggle to proclaim Christ. Look at verse 2, or verse 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. Paul is struggling. He is laboring. He is contending for all of the church of Christ. This word here, struggle, it can literally mean to fight. He is there fighting. He is fighting. This word's often associated with enduring severe suffering, putting yourself through significant stress and strain, exhausting oneself completely. This is what Paul, the apostle, is doing for the church in Laodicea and Colossae. He is struggling. Paul is currently imprisoned for their sake. He is struggling to the point where he has been bound in chains, maybe even locked up in a dungeon somewhere. That is how great a struggle Paul has for the church of Christ. This is a humble reflection of Paul's tireless and sightless love for all of Christ's church. He's saying, I want you to know how great I struggle for you. And notice what he says. He says, and all those who have not seen me face to face. Paul is struggling for people who he has never even had a conversation with. People who have never seen him face to face. They didn't have FaceTime. It's not like, hey, let's call up Paul. We can see him on the phone. No. He never even seen these people face to face. In an earthly sense, he had no earthly tie or connection to them. And yet he is struggling to the point of, I'm willing to be imprisoned for you. This is a great struggle. Paul is contending on their behalf with every fiber of his being. Verse 29 will show us that. But not only have they not met in the flesh, most of these people that Paul is struggling for greatly are Gentiles. They're Gentiles. Paul calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles. That means these were his ethnic enemies according to the flesh. These are the people that he was raised up to dislike, even to hate. And he's saying, I'm willing to be imprisoned for you in my struggle for you. He's striving and struggling even for people who might seem to be his enemies. Christ makes the fiercest of foes into the most fiercely loyal friends. Who else could do that? Who else transforms people to that capacity? And so Paul is struggling, and we have to ask, well, why is Paul struggling? Why is he ardently struggling for the church of Christ in Laodicea and Colossae and for all of those who have never seen them face to face? To what end is he striving? What is his aim? What is his focus? Well, verse 28 and 29 make it very clear. Jump back into chapter 1. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul's struggle is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That is what Paul is struggling to do. Every faculty and facet of Paul's existence is dedicated wholly to making sure that Christ is being proclaimed. That by Christ being proclaimed, that Christ might be formed maturely into every single one of his hearers. That is what Paul is struggling for. And when Paul says that he is struggling, he doesn't mean, oh, I'm struggling to do this. I'm dragging my feet because I don't like do this. Or, oh, I'm struggling to find the motivation to preach Christ. Or I'm finding it difficult to see the benefits of preaching Christ. No, he is contending. When I was in high school, we used to play football on the beach all the time. But football on the beach was not aggressive enough for us. Okay, so what we started doing is we started drawing a line in the sand about 20 feet back from the shore. And what we would do is we throw the ball deep into the water, and the only way you could win is if you single-handedly crossed that line with the football in your arms. Seems easy. Except the 10, 15 other guys was waiting to smash you. Like, you come out of the water with the ball, Pastor Rocky is waiting to blindside you. That's what he was doing. Pastor Van Michael was waiting to blast you. The only way you're going to win is if you struggle. If you strain, like Raymond carrying 2-3 guys on his back, trying to get past the line, you got to dig your heels in the sand. Nick, well, not the same kind of struggle as Raymond, okay? Me and Nick had the same game plan. We wait for the ball to drop on the ground. Nobody's looking. We pick it up and try to run away from everybody. Paul is struggling. He is going through the middle. He is facing all types of hardship. He's getting blasted on every side. He's digging his heels into the sands of persecution, and he is taking steps forward by preaching Christ alone. That's what he's doing. He's struggling, and the line that he has drawn in the sand is, everyone mature in Christ. And I'm going to struggle until everyone gets there, until I see everyone formed into Christ and Christ formed into every one of my hearers. That's Paul's goal. Paul is striving for the goal of seeing every believer mature in Jesus. And so he preaches Christ. Because that's the only way to see people matured in Christ, is to preach Christ to both sinners and saints. The question is, how is Paul finding strength then to struggle in the midst of severe persecution? This brother was literally beaten. He was stoned. He was falsely imprisoned. And he keeps going. We find it hard to come to church on Sunday and wake up when our alarm goes off and this guy was getting stoned, rolling over, and then going and preaching Christ some more. How? How did he find that kind of strength? Paul preaches salvation in Jesus alone through the strength that Jesus alone provides for him. Look at verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. Pastor Jay, Pastor Noah, Pastor Bill, preach Christ alone by the power of Christ alone. Kahului Baptist Church, you must preach Christ alone by the power that Christ alone provides. You must do that. Christ is not just our message. He is not just our mainstay. He himself is our might. It cannot, it must not be through our own instincts and our own inventions, our own ingenuities that we toil to make Christ known, lest we fail to really proclaim Christ alone by muddying the message with some type of human invention, lest the message of Christ be lost by subtracting him or by adding something to him. And we must rely on Christ to preach Christ faithfully. Kealoha, you must struggle to preach Christ here in Kahului on Maui. You gotta struggle. You gotta fight. So we see Paul's struggle to proclaim Christ. And in verses 2 through 4, we see Paul's purpose to proclaim Christ. Paul's purpose to proclaim Christ. We see his struggle, and now we're going to see his purpose. And what we see in verses 2 through 4 is we actually see four reasons. Four reasons why Paul struggles to proclaim Christ to the Christian. Why he struggles to proclaim Christ to the Christian. Look at verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged. That their hearts may be encouraged. Paul struggles to proclaim Christ to Christians because he knows when Christ is proclaimed, hearts are encouraged. Christ engages the soul of a man. When faith is given through the preaching of Christ, Christ works at the very fabric of a person's existence. Jesus hits the heart. He changes the soul. He gets immediately to what matters most. He encourages the heart. When Christ is proclaimed, hearts become emboldened in faith. They become comforted and in love. They become inflamed in holy desires. They are enriched by revelations of deep Christological mysteries. They are encouraged in their hearts. I heard one man describe this word, encourage, meaning to pour courage. When the preacher preaches Christ, he is pouring courage into his people. When Christ is proclaimed properly, our souls flourish in confidence before God because they become engulfed in a flood of courage to struggle forward. I know of Christ. I hear of Christ. I can make it. I can make it through tomorrow. I can make it through today. I can make it through whatever hardship or persecution is standing in front of me because now I have heard of Christ. So we must proclaim Christ because hearts are encouraged. The second reason we see is because people are knit together in love, that their hearts may be encouraged being knit together in love. When Christ is proclaimed, people are knit together in love. People are knit together in love. This word knit together, it's taking two completely separate entities and making them indivisibly one. They're indivisibly one. They're inseparable. Knit is really such a good word to talk about what happens to people when they believe in Jesus, when they hear Christ proclaim. When individuals believe in Christ, their very souls become stitched together with the string of the gospel, one to another. And as much as this Aloha shirt that I'm wearing right now was many different pieces of fabric, it is indivisibly one piece of clothing, and that's what happens to the church of God when Christ is proclaimed. They become one. They become united in love. When Christ is proclaimed, Christians become united in love. The love of Christ is what binds our souls one to another as we are bound to Him. That's what it means to be knit together in love. This abiding, inseparable, and intimate fellowship is only brought through mutual faith in Christ. And this type of fellowship is remembered and rejuvenated whenever Christ is proclaimed. When you hear of the love of God in Christ for you, how can you not love the precious saint sitting next to you? When you hear what Christ did for you, when you hear of what God did for you, how can you possibly ever think that you don't want to love His saints? When Christ is proclaimed, we are knit together in love, so we must proclaim Christ. Because hearts are encouraged, because people are knit together in love, and because when Christ is proclaimed, He brings us confident maturity in Christ. When Christ is proclaimed, Christians gain confident maturity in Christ, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When Christ is proclaimed, we get confident maturity in Christ. We get full assurance of understanding. Full assurance describes the state of complete certainty, of holy contentment. There's no contention in the spirit of Christians when Christ is proclaimed concerning the truth of Jesus Christ. We know when Christ is proclaimed that Christ is Lord. We know that Jesus must be God and man, and we know that he surely lived, died, and rose again. We get full assurance. When we hear of Jesus, we are not trying to find faults or frailty in the doctrine of Jesus. Rather, we are finding comfort and contentment in the person and work of Christ whenever he is proclaimed. Paul's purpose in struggling to proclaim Christ is to see an abundant eruption of assurance in Christ's people. Not in ourselves, not confidence and assurance in ourselves, but contentment and confidence in Jesus, in who he is, in what he has accomplished. Kilho, when Christ is proclaimed properly, contentment erupts in Christians like Kilauea. It erupts in us like Kilauea. We're like, I'm assured that this is true. And the hot lava of assurance swallows up the staunchest doubts, and it disintegrates the scariest fears. When Christ is proclaimed, we become more assuredly convinced that our souls are truly hidden away in the only safe harbor for sinners. We get full assurance of understanding. To reach the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. This is why Paul continues to preach the preeminence of Christ to Christians. Because a deeper knowledge of Jesus only brings us confident trust and deepened intimacy in Jesus. That's what happens the more that we hear of Jesus. Christ proclaimed to us expands the horizon of our understanding and deepens our well of intimacy to get sweeter and purer living water, who is Jesus. That's what it does. That's what Christ proclaimed does for Christians. The more depths of Jesus' person and work that are plumbed out and excavated and uncovered, the more treasure of his person and work that we get to behold. He is the riches and treasures of the mystery of God. Because we get to see those riches and those treasures more clearly. The more mystery that is unveiled for us to see, the more confidence we have to fully invest all of our hope in him. The more that we go back and look at Jesus and refine our vision of Jesus and refine our understanding of Jesus, the more reason we find to fully trust him. And Kilho, that's just not true about almost anything in life. It's just the more time that you get to know something or someone, really the more reason you see, hey, this person is kind of messed up. The more time that you spend with me, the more time you see, oh, Chris is weak. The more time that you spend with Pastor Jay, the more you will see that he's a sinner. The more time you really spend around anything, the more their weaknesses will be exposed. I love to jump off cliffs. That's just something that gets me, I don't know, ever since I was young. And you know, one time I was cruising with my brother Rocky, Pastor Rocky, and some of our friends, and we went to Makamakaole. And we got to Makamakaole, which is out past Waihe'e, and there's this jump over there. This is a minor manini jump, but Rocky saw a crazy jump. And Rocky wasn't gonna jump himself, and he's like, hey Chris, you should do that jump. And I was like, looked at the jump, it's literally a tiny strawberry guava tree that is about 8 feet from the cliff, a skinny little tree with one piece of 2x2, 4x4 nailed, one nail to the tree. So you gotta climb the tree, you gotta stand with 1 foot on that board, that little board, and then jump over the cliff. And I was like, Rocky, that's kinda nuts, bro, I don't know. And he's like, nah, do it, do it. And so I climbed the tree. and I stood up on that little board. I typically do not spend very much time standing and looking at a jump. I just jump. But I'll tell you, I was in that tree for a long time. Looking at that jump, my foot was wet. I continued to feel how slippery that little piece of wood was, and the fact that there was only one nail. I jump off my left foot, but I couldn't because the tree came across my body, so I had to jump with my right foot. The more I stood up there, the more I felt it wiggle under the pressure of my weight with one nail holding it up there. And the longer that I stood on that piece of wood, the more unsure I became whether or not I was going to slip, fall, and die. That is not what it is like with Jesus. The more acquainted we become with Jesus, the more sure we become that we can trust him. That's what's true about Jesus, because we see the riches of his glorious person more and more clearly. The more mystery unveiled, the more confidence we have to say, I want to trust you, Jesus. I see you, Jesus. I want to be with you, Jesus. The more that we go back and look at him hanging on that tree, the more confident we become that what is nailed to that tree can surely hold all of the weight of our weary souls. And we become more convinced that his grip would never let us slip into death. And that's what happens when Christ is proclaimed. We get to see the mystery of God, who is Christ. In Christ, all of the mysteries and prophecies of the scriptures and of God come together in a perfectly clear, yet completely unexpected fulfillment. That's why it's a mystery. That's why Christ is a mystery. What is the mystery of God in Christ? God, the uncreated creator of all things, the sovereign ruler of all that exists, would subject himself to the limits of his creation to redeem that which he created. The mystery of God in Christ is that God sent his Son, the very radiance of his glory, the exact imprint of his nature, to become a man like us in every respect, yet without sin. The mystery of God in Christ is that then Jesus, God's Son, would suffer death as the perfect and spotless Lamb of God, bearing all of God's brewing, storming wrath for our sins. The mystery of God in Christ is that he died and was sealed away in a tomb. And then he rose. As a man in a body, he rose. He rose as a man to give new life to the men that he had become like, so that those men could then become like him. What a mystery! What a glorious treasure of God's wisdom. And now Jesus lives to intercede for those sinners made saints so that we might grow in holiness by the grace that he freely gives. The unveiled mystery, who is Jesus, we gain perfect propitiation for our sins. We gain purifying forgiveness of all of our unrighteousness. We gain living, unending intercession for our souls. We gain the preserving presence of God with us perpetually. We gain everything we desperately needed and everything that we obviously lacked and could never get ourselves. And all of this is free to us by faith in Christ. Ultimately, deepening our understanding, the full assurance and understanding of the knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. That is what it means to mature in Christ. for the Christian to know Christ more is to become like him more. That's it. For every single Christian, the more that you know Christ, the more you become like him. That's maturity. And men could never become like God unless God became like men and made man his dwelling place. If that's true, then Jesus ought to always remain the object of our affection, our pursuits, and all of our life purposes. And notice how Paul refers to Jesus. He calls him riches and treasures. So good that we read of the rich young ruler together today. Because in Christ, we gain a formerly hidden treasure. See that it's hidden in him? All of the riches and treasures of the knowledge and wisdom of God is hidden in him. I live on Lana'i. Lana'i is owned by the sixth wealthiest person in the world. Brother Larry Ellison, his net worth is $121 billion. That's plenty money, okay? That's plenty money. That's more than enough money to buy everything in the world and still have more money. It would be exhilarating and shocking and life-changing if tomorrow I woke up and all of Larry Ellison's $121 billion would put in my First Hawaiian bank account. That would be exhilarating. Oh, what just happened? My life is changed. The exhilaration and freedom that I would feel is absolutely worthless to the exhilaration of having eternal life with Christ our God. It's worthless. How much more exhilarating is it to know the mystery of God, who is Jesus? And that's what we have. And that's what we know every time Christ is proclaimed. We do not just gain some obscure knowledge and wisdom about Jesus. We gain Jesus himself. Kiloha, this should heap burning coals of excitement into your hearts. This should incite holy desires and righteousness in your life. And you should say, bro, I like know Jesus. I like go dive deep with Jesus. I want to know him more. I want to see every gem and jewel, every diamond and piece of gold that I can possibly see. If you're here today and you're not believing in Jesus, you should. Because he's so good. He's so good. Believe in Jesus and find this treasure. Kilo, we must proclaim Christ. We must proclaim Christ. Because hearts are encouraged, because people are knit together in love, and because it will give us confident maturity in Christ. The fourth reason is so that we can stand against heresy. Look at verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. I'm telling you that Christ is the hidden wisdom and knowledge of God so that no one could delude you with something that seems like it's good and it's not. It's heresy. The Colossian body was being enticed by false teachers. They were being enticed by false teachers to embrace false doctrine. And every false doctrine has the same root. It's denial of Jesus. They deny Christ in one way or another. There's two ways that every false doctrine can deny Christ. Either they add to him or they subtract from him. One false doctrine that belittles Christ's person and work is the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel says that if you have enough faith and if you give enough to God, that you will get whatever you want. As if Christ wasn't enough. It belittles him. It's a false doctrine. And the only way we're going to stand against that is if we know who Christ is. And then there's something that tries to add to Christ's person and work, like legalism. Like, you got to start obeying these rules that are not in the Bible. You got to dress in these clothes. You got to listen to this type of music. You got to speak with this certain type of tone. You got to embrace this thing culturally. You got to raise your kids in this direct way, or else you're not pleasing to God. As if Christ could not secure for us an eternal salvation by himself. Both are a hellish delusion. A delusion that no one may delude you. The delusion here in embracing heresy is to believe that there is something, anything valuable outside of Christ. Some knowledge to be gained, some secret knowledge to be gained, or praise to be received, or work to be done. And notice that he calls them plausible arguments. They're plausible, meaning that they're appealing. That there's something you would want to believe, like a magic trick. Like, you hope that it's true, but you really know it's not. It's a plausible argument. The argument appears to have truth and goodness, but lacks the actual substance of truth and goodness. It appears to proclaim Christ, but it actually speaks against him. And Paul is elaborately expositing the riches of Christ to entice maturity in Christ so as to prevent us from stumbling into appealing heresy. In him are hidden all of the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Only by truly believing and proclaiming Christ alone and what he has done can we reject the tales of who he is not. You got to know him if you're going to know what he's not. And how will we know what to believe unless he is proclaimed to us? So Kahului Baptist Church, Kila, we must proclaim Christ alone to stand against heresy. So we see Paul's struggle to proclaim Christ. We see Paul's purpose in proclaiming Christ. And what we see last here in the text is Paul's devotion to Christ's people. Paul's devotion to Christ's people. Look at verse 5. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith. You see what his proper belief of Christ, his proper doctrine of Christ leads him to do? He's like, even though there's so much between us, there's nothing between us because I'm with you in the Spirit. I'm with you. And I'm rejoicing with you. Only true devotion to Christ can bring about this type of unity between humanity. Devotion to Christ himself becomes devotion to Christ's people. If you're devoted to Christ, then you're going to be devoted to his people. That's the only option. That's the only conclusion. Paul has never even met some of these people, and he's like, bro, I'm with you in spirit. I'm with you in spirit. His heart is knit together with them in love. How much more should it be for this church? How much more should you be devoted to one another's good? How much more should you guys be knit together in love? And this should be seen clearly in your business meetings, in your Sunday school classes, in your life groups, when you're at the store, and when you're at home, when you're at the park. You should be devoted to Christ's people. If there exists among this body true maturity in Christ, there must then exist among your members true abiding unity in spirit. It has to be there. And notice that Paul is not just devoted to loving or struggling. with them. He's not like, oh, I'm struggling and you guys stay doing good and I'm sour about that. I'm pilau because you guys are doing good and I'm doing bad. No, he says, I'm rejoicing. This dude is in chains, in jail, and he's saying, I'm rejoicing because of you. Why is he rejoicing? Because he sees their successful resistance against false doctrine, against heresy. Why? Because in their body there is good order and firmness of faith. Saying, I know there must be maturity in Christ in you because I see your good order. I see the firmness of your faith. Being persuaded by false doctrine will lead to disorder. It's going to lead to chaos. But holding fast to Christ leads to righteous living in the body. There is good order. There is good order. And he says, I rejoice at the firmness of your faith. Firmness here describes a firm commitment, a steadfastness, a type of tested devotedness, that their faith has been tested and it remains in Christ. Paul rejoices at hearing of their spiritual strengthening because the Colossians have stood against false doctrine and remained faithful because of their maturity and faith in Christ Jesus. And that brings joy and substance to Paul's present suffering. Like, Paul is suffering and he's saying, your faith is giving me joy. Pastor Jay, Pastor Noah, Pastor Bill, any type of sufferings that you guys experience as shepherds, I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Any cracks that you catch, any blows you take, you stick out your chin, you take it on the chin, because you will get to see your people growing in the firmness of their faith, and it will cause you to have immense joy. It's evident in this body. From Lana'i, I and the whole body of Lana'i Baptist Church, we find joy in our suffering when we hear of the firmness of your faith here at Kahului Baptist Church. When we hear of whole households being restored, we rejoice. When we hear of godly men being ordained to gospel pastoral ministry, we rejoice. When we hear stories of repentance being met with faith, we rejoice. We rejoice because of the firmness of your faith, Kahului Baptist Church. Mahalo kiakua for Kahului Baptist Church. Your good order is good for us on Lana'i. It's good partnership. Paul struggles to proclaim Christ to Christ people so that Christ's people might become more like Christ, so that they might become more devoted to Christ, and that they might become more devoted to his people. That Christ's people might really be, though absent in the body, there in spirit. Paul's ministry, Paul's life is just Christocentric. It's just centered around Christ. And oh, that Christ might be proclaimed here at Kahului Baptist Church for many more generations. That sinners and saints might see Jesus as you proclaim him alone. Let it be, Lord. And I want to finish with 2 points of application. The first is that Paul's proper doctrine of Christ and unwavering trust in Christ leads him to deeper devotion to Christ's people. If you are not devoted to Christ's body, namely in faithful membership, either you are believing something faulty about Jesus or you are being disobedient to him. Be faithful to Christ by being faithful to Christ's people. Come to Sunday school. Come to prayer. Come to life groups. Enjoy one another on more than just a Sunday gathering. Be a faithful member of Christ's body. The second has to deal with the partnership between our church and really any other churches that we partner with. We are a small church. We are a weak church on Lana'i. Yes, we need your prayers. We do. And maybe during VBS, we need Erica to come run her wizardry on the PowerPoint systems. Maybe we need Auntie Kelly to come dance along with Paula to make the kids laugh. Perhaps I need Pastor Jay for come hammer the roof off my house and replace it with some roof that is not rusted. But do you know what we need the most from you, Kahului Baptist Church? We need each one of you to be faithful members here, and we need you to keep proclaiming Christ. That's what we need from you most. That's what gives the most life to our partnerships. The number one way in which we toil to strengthen each other's body in the gospel of Jesus Christ is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we are. Because the gospel alone has the power to save sinners and strengthen his saints. You know what this tells us? This text tells us about our firmest partnerships in the gospel. Our deepest and firmest partnerships with other bodies and with each other cannot be founded chiefly on how much money they're giving to the cooperative program. It cannot be founded on how much materials they're buying from Lifeway. It cannot be founded on how Southern Baptist they appear to be in name. Our standard for our closest partnerships must be, are they proclaiming him faithfully? That's it. They must be struggling to make Jesus known, striving to unveil the mystery of God who is Christ in the scriptures by preaching him alone. No matter the ahupua'a or the island, no matter if they're in the city or the country, no matter how far or how near, they must be proclaiming Christ and him crucified and not muddying the message with any type of relevance or pragmatism. Kiloha, if our closest partnerships, our most dearest partnerships are not dependent upon seeing Christ proclaimed, they don't matter. They don't matter at all. If the partnerships that we have are not built on the bloodied back of Jesus Christ, what significance do they really have? They are not worth having if our partnerships are not founded in and forming into Christ's perfect person. They can perish. Let them mock it. Let them die if they are not preaching Christ. But if Christ is the crowning jewel of our unseen fellowship, then we will all be mutually strengthened and matured in Christ. No matter if Git, Kahalavai, and Haleakala, and the whole Au Au channel between us, we will be strengthened by one another. If Christ is proclaimed day in and day out here at Kahului Baptist Church and there on Lana'i, our members will mature in Christ. And every mature member of your church strengthens my church. The firmness of your faith firms up our faith. That has to be it, Kila. Are they proclaiming him? The only way for God's kingdom to overtake Hawaiian homes, to go forth in mini Manila, to encompass all of Dream City, is if Kahului Baptist Church continues to faithfully proclaim Christ. Don't stop. Don't stop, please. So that sinners and saints can see Jesus and become like him. And the only way we can do that is if Christ is proclaimed. Epulikako, let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the firmness of faith that I am seeing here in Kahului Baptist Church. As I look out, I can just see stories upon stories of people who have labored to trust Jesus when it has been most difficult, and they have been rewarded with the treasure of seeing Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would endow Pastor Jay and Pastor Noah and Pastor Bill with many, 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 many fruitful years of proclaiming Christ. Not so that we can just see this church filled with people, so that we could see people transformed by the gospel, and that you might receive much glory through it. We believe this would bring you glory, so would you please do it? Would you please do it, Jesus? Sustain my brothers and sisters. Sustain Kahului Baptist Church. Let them see you. Sustain them in your strength. We pray all things in the name of Jesus' name. Amen.